Thank you for joining me. My name is Dr. David Carter, and I practice endodontics in Toledo, Ohio. The subject of this podcast is, what does it mean to have a cracked tooth? The phrase cracked tooth is a term that is often used in dental offices. You may also have been told that a tooth was chipped, fractured, or that you have crazed lines in a tooth. Unfortunately, it can be very confusing to sort all of these terms out. In this podcast, I will categorize these conditions in an effort to help provide some clarity. Permanent teeth are comprised of enamel, dentin, cementum, and the dental pulp. The first three tissues listed make up the hard tissue component of the adult tooth. These tissues encase the softer dental pulp. The hardness of these tissues is secondary to a mineral called hydroxyapatite. This is a crystalline structure that is found throughout the human body. This crystalline structure makes human teeth very strong. In addition, while most people do not think of it, human beings are capable of generating tremendous forces with our jaws. The combination of efficient musculature and durable teeth allows us to consume a diverse diet. It also is a contributor to our teeth showing signs of progressive wear. Many people consume foods and drinks of varying temperatures. Our teeth, like all substances, expand and contract when exposed to different temperatures. The exposure of teeth to rapidly changing temperatures as we consume different things can be a source of structural stress as well. Habits such as clenching and grinding of teeth may also have a negative effect on the hard tissues of the tooth. There are a wide range of options available to reduce or eliminate this habit, and many patients use a night guard or bite splint to reduce this sort of activity. It is particularly insidious as many patients clench or grind their teeth without thinking about it during the day or involuntarily while they are sleeping. In my experience, these habits are the largest contributor to the fractured teeth I see in my practice every day. There is also an iatrogenic component to the disruption of the hard tissues of the tooth. While dental caries, or cavities, are best not left untreated, the process of removing tooth decay and restoring teeth can also play a role in disrupting the hard tissues of the tooth. As a rule, the more extensive the decay, the more risk to the tooth. This is just another reason that recall visits and periodic radiographs are a good idea. Smaller problems can often be resolved with fewer long-term sequelae. Conceptually, the deterioration of the crystalline structure occurs along a continuum over time. While there are acute incidents, such as trauma or motor vehicle accidents, that can cause injury to teeth, most fractures we encounter are the result of wear and tear. When I am performing endodontic treatment on a posterior tooth in a patient over 35 years of age, I expect to see some signs of crystal separation. The analogy I like to make is that of comparing this crystal separation to the development of wrinkles. While the process takes longer in some people, as we age, nearly all of us start to see some wrinkles. The most innocuous sign of crystal separation is the crazed line. While crazed lines can be seen on any tooth in the mouth, these lines are often visible on our front teeth. They appear as fine lines that may be slightly discolored. This may create aesthetic concerns, but these lines are restricted to the enamel and usually do not represent structural concerns in the tooth. Crazed lines can also be referred to as enamel fractures. As the fractures progress more deeply, the involvement of the dentin layer increases. This increases the potential for the development of symptoms in the tooth and raises three separate issues. First, the unique tubular anatomy of dentin allows it to relay sensory information to the central nervous system. When dentin is challenged by tactile, thermal, mechanical, or osmotic stimuli, the tooth may be painful. Second, the exposure of dentin to the oral environment inevitably exposes the dentinal tubules to saliva. As we all know, saliva is full of bacteria, and the dental pulp is much happier when it is isolated from bacteria. Over time, this exposure can lead to inflammation and the eventual necrosis or death of the dental pulp. Finally, there are structural considerations. As the fracture size and depth increases, the potential for a cuspal fracture does as well. The fracture may be displaced, meaning a piece of the tooth or restoration has been dislodged. This may be referred to as a chip. The fracture may also be non-displaced, giving the patient no indication that something structural is amiss. Part of the process of clinical evaluation in our office is to determine what can be done with the tooth and what the long-term prognosis is. Root canal therapy can be performed on nearly any tooth. However, it is only a good option when it will lead to the retention of the tooth for a long period of time. We make every effort to involve both the patient and our referring doctors in a dialogue prior to initiating root canal therapy. For now, thank you for joining me. I hope this was a useful explanation. I look forward to speaking with you again very soon.